Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Just a little ears warning, this next chat is not for people of a sensitive nature or those who are children, because it is time for...
Warning, the following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
But remember, you can catch this chat a little later on in the show or on our podcasts. Now, in a film that's coming out next month, Emma Thompson's character enlists the services of a young male sex worker. So there's lots to talk about in here, but here's a little clip of it. Have a listen to this.
So I've made a list of things that I'd like to get through.
Oh, I think we'll certainly make a significant dent in it.
Good. That's good. Good.
You want to start with the blowjob?
Okay, so I'm joined now by our resident sex therapist, Rachel Cook, to discuss. Hi, Rachel. How's it going?
Hiya, Jen.
Okay, so Emma Thompson's character is supposed to be middle-aged and has had a really boring, unfulfilling sex life before then. Can I ask you, do you think it is ever too late to awaken your sexuality?
No, definitely not. I mean, it depends on what you mean by awaken, but really the answer is no, it's never too late. I guess there might be some things that you might be into that might become physically more difficult or just exhausting to do, depending on your tastes or what you're, you know, how adventurous you're wanting to be. But if you're really talking about trying new things, developing your sexual tastes, putting fantasies into action, you can totally do that anytime. You know, I would say around this, just be aware of the laws wherever you are, and otherwise have fun and make sure it's between, obviously, consenting adults and have fun.
Absolutely. Is it common for our sexual desires to change over time? Or are we kind of, we like one thing. Oh, it is common. Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty, I would say that's common for most people. They obviously don't have to. Some people feel obliged that you have to be, you know, doing the rounds of kind of being as adventurous and exploratory as possible all the time. And that can be a little bit something to do with the movement of sex positivity, which kind of, you know, encourages people to be so open-minded as to try everything, when obviously you're not obliged to do that. You know, if you're happy and you're content with quite a limited number of kind of sexual, you know, behaviours, acts, interests that you have, that's absolutely fine too. Whereas, you know, for some people, they find that their desire to explore sexually explodes after it could be a breakup, you know, specifically maybe like a long term relationship or marriage, or when children leave home or they retire. So there's lots of reasons why someone's, you know, sexual desires and kind of tastes might change throughout their lifetime.
OK, but like in the movie we're talking about, is it ever a good idea to put yourself in the hands of a professional?
Well, so this is an interesting one and very nuanced, and there are some grey areas because of the legal aspects in Ireland and in different countries around the world, because it's just so varied. So, you know, there's different ways to get around that. And, you know, not that I'm suggesting in any way breaking the law. I am not suggesting that. No, we don't do that here. But there are certain things, like, let's say in Ireland, it's becoming more popular to get interested in tantra, things called sacred sexuality, sensual touch, sex coaching, and kind of related professionals that will, you know, it'll be sort of like sensual services that can be related to sort of spirituality, intimacy. And things like tantra can include stuff like breath work, different kinds of movement, ritual, sound, touch, and occasionally sexual touch and connection. And then you have things like sex coaching, where it'll focus on skills, kind of self-awareness, communication, boundaries and limits. And there will be sometimes hands-on experience involved in that. So there are ways to go about it, because there are definitely erotic educators, tantra teachers, sexual healers, love coaches, all of these sorts of people who are doing even something called sexological body work, which is growing and has very much you know, a history there of people going and training in it for years to become sexological body workers.
Wow.
So that's one thing that you can access as well.
So there's loads of avenues you can go down without breaking the law. But what exactly counts as sex work?
Yeah, so sex work, well, basically sex workers are adults who receive money or goods in exchange for consensual sexual services or erotic performances, whether that's regularly all or occasionally. But not all sex workers engage in penetrative sex, although undeniably that's usually a big part of sex work. Sex work services between consenting adults may include all sorts of things, though, as we were sort of discussing there. It can be companionship, intimacy, cuddling, non-sexual role-playing, dancing, escorting, stripping. Many sex workers take on multiple roles with their clients, and some may get more physical, while other interactions that may have started off as sexual will evolve into a more kind of emotional bonding. There's both a grey area and not a grey area here in terms of the law as to what counts as sex work.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. What's the legal situation with sex work in Ireland?
Yeah, so basically selling sexual services in Ireland is legal in some circumstances. However, it is against the law to buy or offer to buy sexual services. So there are a variety of different ways that the country's governments try to get, you know, try to deal with this around the world. But you have, in Ireland, we have something called neo-abolitionism, which is where it's illegal to buy sex and it's illegal for third party involvement, but it is actually legal to sell sex. So it basically means that the client is the one who would be getting in trouble. And then in other countries, you have where it's decriminalized, where there's no criminal penalties for prostitution or sex work. And then you have abolitionism, which is where sex work is legal but unregulated, and you're not allowed to have organized activities like brothels or pimping. But in Ireland currently, it's against the law to sell or to offer sexual services on a street or any public place. Mm-hmm. It's also against the law not to move if asked by a Garda who suspects that you are loitering in a public place for the purposes of sex work. And it's illegal to operate a brothel or allow a brothel to be operated in premises that you own or lease.
Let's say you're in an Emma Thompson position and you want to awaken your sexuality and you want to go to a sex worker. How can you access sex workers ethically without breaking the law?
Well, without breaking the law for yourself as a client, you can't do that in Ireland. You would need to be going to, say, Germany or Amsterdam or somewhere like that to do that legally. The other way that you can do it is what I mentioned there,
yeah,
is accessing services that are, let's say,
tantric, sexologists, that.
Yes, sexological body workers, that sort of thing, where it is not sex work as defined, in terms of like prostitution, which is a word that I prefer not to use, but it's still used. But that is one way that you can go about it.
Why, just going back to your point there, why use the term sex worker rather than prostitute?
Yeah, so basically the term sex worker recognises that work is work. Prostitution, on the other hand, has connotations of criminality and immorality.
Okay.
So many people who sell sexual services prefer the term sex worker and find prostitute demeaning and stigmatising, which contributes to their exclusion. You know, people who in this work are often excluded, depending on the country, from health, legal and social services. You know, that's one reason why people use that term.
Rachel, do you think sex work should be decriminalised?
Personally, I do. I think that the criminalisation of sex work massively compromises sex workers' health and safety by driving sex work underground. The criminalisation makes it harder for sex workers to negotiate their terms with clients, to work together with other sex workers for safety. It even makes them afraid to carry condoms without fear that will be used as evidence of, of sex work. Sex workers in many settings report extreme levels of violence and harassment in connection with their work, including from clients, managers and police. And criminalisation makes it difficult for sex workers to report rights violations, especially by the police, because they are vulnerable to imprisonment, further abuse and retribution. So I think that it is very important to read up about, you know, the histories of sex work and the shame and stigma around it as to why we are still so fearful in certain countries of sex work being seen as work or seeing it as a dirty, shameful or wrong thing. I would absolutely suggest.
You mentioned Amsterdam in Germany, so obviously it's decriminalized there. Is that right?
Yeah, so there's different laws. So basically in 8 European countries, which are Germany, Netherlands, Austria, Switzerland, Greece, Hungary, Latvia and Turkey, prostitution is legal and regulated. The degree of enforcement of the anti-sex work laws varies by country, by region, by city. So you really do have to look out for that. But that absolutely there is a lot, you know, there's very permissive policies in the Netherlands and Germany. So these countries are major destinations for international sex tourism. And yeah, so different countries have different laws.
So if you're thinking of doing an Emma Thompson and you're thinking of hopping on a plane and going to see a sex worker, what should you consider? Like, should you have a goal for yourself?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. You know, ideally, you find out in some way that it's like ethical beforehand. You know, we've talked before about ethical porn and, you know, that you need to, you know, ideally go to someone, not ideally, just do go somewhere that is reputable, where it is clear that, you know, the person is not being, you know, is very, very coerced, unlikely. Yeah. Obviously, you can never know for sure, but is highly unlikely to have been trafficked, that they're highly, highly unlikely to be underage. So you need to, you know, make sure of those things. But that, you know, I would say also think about beforehand, like what it is that you'd like to get from that experience, because, you know, most of these most sex workers are going to be very experienced in talking to people about their fantasies and desires and talking about boundaries and consent. So, you know, ideally you'd have a good chat beforehand to be able to work out what's going to work best for both of you so that you can have the best time possible.
Okay. Rachel Cook, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us today. And Rachel Cook will be back next week on the show. If there's anything you would like us to discuss in sex and relationship therapy, you can get in touch. Jen@rte.ie. And you can also follow Rachel on Instagram @RachelJaneCook with an E on the end. There she is. And she's amazing. Lots of really insightful things on her Instagram as well. We'll be back right after this.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.